10th canto, 1st chapter, verse 58. Kim do sahanam nu sadhuna vidusham kim apekshitam. Kim karya kadaryana dustyajam kim ghatatmana kim, what is duhasaham painful. Nu, indeed, sadhunam, for saintly persons, vidusham, of learned persons, kim apekshitam, what is dependence, kim akadyam, what is forbidden work, kadaryanam, of persons in lowest grade, duschajam, very difficult to give up, kim, what is gratatmanam, of persons who are self-realized. Translation: what is painful for saintly persons who strictly adhere to the truth? How could there not be independence for pure devotees who know the Supreme Lord as the substance? What deeds are forbidden for persons of the lowest character? And what cannot be given up for the sake of Lord Krishna by those who fully surrendered to at his lotus feet? Please repeat. What is painful for saintly persons who strictly adhere to the truth? How could there not be independence for pure devotees who know the Supreme Lord as the substance? What deeds are forbidden for persons of the lowest character? And what cannot be given up for the sake of Lord Krishna by those who have fully surrendered at his lotus feet? By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Since the eighth son of Devaki was to kill Kamsa, one might ask what the need was for Vasudev to deliver the firstborn child. The answer is that Vasudev had promised Kamsa that he would deliver all the children born of Devaki. Kamsa, being an asura, did not believe that the eighth child would kill him. He took it for granted that he might be killed by any one of the children of Devaki. Vasudev, therefore, to save Devaki, promised to give Kamsa every child, whether male or female. From another point of view, Vasudev and Devaki were very pleased when they understood that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, would come as their eighth son. Vasudev, a pure devotee, of the Lord was eager to see Krishna appear as his child from the eighth pregnancy of Devaki. Therefore, he wanted to deliver all the children quickly so that the eighth turn would come and Krishna would appear. He begot one child every year so that Krishna's turn would to appear would come as soon as possible. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam He Krishna Karunasindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpata Rubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrunda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Hare Krishna, thank you. So in this 58th verse, there are so many questions. One question is, what is painful for saintly persons who adhere strictly to the truth? This is a very common question that many people ask, that Krishna appears as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the devotees who are given the pleasure or the honor or the position of being his parents are put through such a rigorous, such a heavy situation of dukkha after dukkha, distress after distress. Same thing when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears as well. There were so many, nine daughters who were born before to Sachi Devi, before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born. So she had to go through all of these, giving birth to all of these children who did not survive. Giving birth to children is painful, but it's also pleasurable if there is a child. But when there is no child in the end, then it is just painful, distressful, and that's it. Does not end up with any kind of pleasurable situation. And here in the situation of Mata Devaki, she knows that the child that she is bearing, the child that she is conceiving or trying to conceive, is going to be killed. How painful is that? You know for sure that this child is going to be killed. Meaning, every child is going to die one day, but this child is going to be killed as soon as he's born. He will be smashed against the rock and boom. That is a very, very distressful condition. Imagine having even 1% of that distress. It would kill us. How many of us, the grahasthas, would be happily producing those children that they know for sure are going to come out and be smashed against a rock. And that's it. Nobody would want to do that. They would rather become celibate brahmacharis than to produce those children. But Vasudeva and Devaki went through that very, very extremely painful and distressful test time. Now, the question is, why are these personalities, who are these personalities? They are not regular jivas like you and me. Are they? What are they called? They are Nitya Mukta. They are not Baddha Jivas. They are Nitya Mukta. Being a Nitya Mukta, you are having to go through so much distress. Unimaginable. We can't even begin to feel that pain. And there is a, whatever painful situation becomes more painful when that same pain is given to somebody I love rather than me. Every parent knows that. And those who are not parents, they have parents. They know the feeling of the parents. They are more distressed to see us in distress. So, question people ask, why? Why did they have to go through so much pain and so much suffering? And that is the same question here. What is painful for saintly persons who strictly adhere to the truth? The answer is in the last word. They adhere to the truth. Meaning, what is the truth? The truth is, let's say, imagine all of us, we are Devaki. What is the truth for Devaki? Is she Devaki that has to live through this for the life, or is she Devaki that who's playing the role of being Devaki right now? It's like playing a role. What are we doing? All of us. We are playing some kind of a role of being this person right now in this family, and whatever our material situation is, we are just temporarily playing that role of being that person. We are not eternally that person. Right now, I have a mother, I have a father, I have a son, I have a daughter, I have a brother, I have a sister. Whose relatives are they? Are they my relatives or my bodies? Are they my relatives or the bodies? Mine? No? Bodies? Yes? And the body is temporary. So the role that I am put in right now is also temporary. It is like playing the role of somebody on the stage. On the stage, we give one of you a role of playing this person. Let's say Haridas Thakur, for example. Haridas Thakur also lived a very painful life. Prahlad Maharaj also lived a very painful life. Everything that's given in the Bhagavatam about Prahlad Maharaj's life, if we get 1% of the distress of Prahlad Maharaj, that's it. We wouldn't be able to handle it. Not 1% of what Prahlad Maharaj endured. We wouldn't be able to handle it. So let's say any one of us given the role of being Prahlad Maharaj on the stage. Now you are being beaten with the canes, you are being attacked with the swords, you are put in front of the vicious snakes and so many things. And your mother is sitting down there watching you. Is she really distressed? Oh my God, what are they doing to my son? No, she is there laughing. Wow, look at him. He is looking really like Prahlad Maharaj right now. Look at him. He is doing it so wonderfully. The mother is not distressed by seeing her son being put through so many distresses. Why? Because she is adhering to the truth. And what is the truth? That this person, my son, is just playing this role right now. He is not Prahlad, I am not Kayadu, my husband is not Hiranyakashyap. Because if he is Prahlad, then your husband is Hiranyakashyap. But that's not true. So, adhering to the truth. So, if we all adhere to the truth, that the truth is, truth being, I am temporarily in this body. I am not this body. I am a spirit soul temporarily suffering here or going through such big distress or whatever. Right now, as far as the family situation is concerned, whatever material problems we have, family problems we have, they all go into this category that, okay, I am feeling this pain because this is my son and he failed his exam and I am feeling terrible. Well, he is not really exactly my son eternally. Eternally, who is he? He's a brother just like everybody else. So if anybody else's son fails the exam, do I worry? That reminds me of what happened once. There was this young boy who failed his exam. And now he has to face the father. Really in distress, how to face the father that I failed the exam. So he comes to the father. It was a very bad exam, very many other children failed. So he reports to his father. Shishi Gaurnitai ki, Shri Shri Krishna Balarama ki, Shishi Radha Shyam Sundar ki, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki. So he comes in front of his father and he says, you know, the district magistrate's son was also giving exam with me. Yes, 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 I know. He failed. So the father says, too bad. I want to know your result. You know that foreign diplomat's son, he also failed. Father again says, yeah, too bad, but I want to know your result. He goes, that other prominent family, their son also failed. Now the father is really anxious to know the result of his son. So now the son says, if the district magistrate's son failed, rocket scientist's son failed, what are you? Who do you think you are? You think you are better than them? Your son also failed. So, the situation is temporary. And because we think that I am this body, I take it as an unlimited, unending distress that I am having to suffer through this. And that's why we feel that Mata Devaki suffered through this. Sachi Mata suffered through this. Why would they suffer? They know that this is not the truth. My children are dying because of destiny, because of Leela, because of what Krishna wants, because of so many things. People also, it is also mentioned that the womb of Devaki is cleaned of all the kaam, krodh, lobh, moh, mad, matsara by having all these children. So she understands any of this. She's not in distress. Externally, she acts like she's in distress, but she's not. So that distress is not real. That's what it is mentioned here. If you strictly adhere to the truth, then where is the painful situation? Because pain cannot really be given to your soul, although your soul feels it. Next question is, how could there not be independence for pure devotees who know the Supreme Lord as the substance? These characters are pure devotees. We think Mata Devaki, Sachi Devi, Yashoda, Nand Maharaj, Vasudev, they are any less than pure devotees? No. So because they are pure devotees of the Supreme Lord, they are independent of thinking that here is me and here is my body. Not, we are not the same. What deeds are forbidden for persons of the lowest character? This is a tricky one. What deeds are forbidden by the person of lowest character? We know that we won't allow them to put tilak on. Can't put tilak. We won't allow them to put kanti on if they are in our control. If they are in our control, we won't allow them to put tilak on. We won't allow them to put kanti on. We won't allow them to lead a kirtan. We won't allow them to give a class. No, no. You are person of the lowest character. You cannot be portraying yourself as a devotee, Hare Krishna devotee. And you cannot be in a leadership position to take the mic and speak, give your opinion on Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and on what Srila Prabhupada has explained. So, such things are forbidden for people of the lowest character. Why our devotees are not the lowest character? They are following four regulative principles. They are chanting their rounds. They are attending the programs. They are participating completely, trying to become completely Krishna conscious. So they are not the lowest characters. Next question is, and what cannot be given up for the sake of Lord Krishna for those who have fully surrendered at his lotus feet? So you can say in one sense that for the matas that we are discussing, Mother Devaki, Vasudeva also is suffering. It's not that Mother Devaki is suffering alone. And Sachi Devi, Jagannath Mishra, all suffering distress. But question is, what cannot be given up for the sake of Lord Krishna? So for the sake that, okay, Lord Chaitanya will be born here in our household after all this. Krishna will come in the eighth womb of Devaki, eighth pregnancy of Devaki. So, with the happiness of that, they forget this distress. Anything we want to achieve in this life, we have to go through distressful situation to achieve that. It doesn't just come. When after going through this distressful situation for a long time, when people achieve something, they put their status on their Facebook, enjoying at such and such place. They're not putting on the Facebook what did they have to suffer to get to that enjoyment. And then after that enjoyment is going to end, and then the suffering begins again. That they don't want to discuss. So, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is explaining, since eighth son of Devaki was to kill Kansa, one might ask what the need was for Vasudev to deliver the firstborn child. The answer is that Vasudev had promised. Vasudev could have promised that, okay, you are afraid of her eighth son. I will give you the eighth son soon as he is born. But Vasudev didn't do that. Vasudev really wanted to please Kamsa, really wanted to calm him down and offer him, because at that time just trying to protect Devaki. At any cost, I have to protect Devaki. So he promised all children, all of his children, not just sons, sons and daughters, all of them. But what happens? In the serial they show, when first one is born, what's his name? Kirtiman or something. Kirtiman? Kamsa actually says, okay, he is the first one. Tiny little baby, I don't want to kill him. Take him. You can nurture him, have him grow. I'm not afraid of him. Take him. So Vasudev is very happy. Devaki is very happy. Takes them back. But now Narad Muni is thinking that Kamsa has become very soft. Vasudev has promised all of his children to Kamsa. Kamsa is now giving them life back. So now Vasudev and Devaki will become indebted to Kamsa by the time Krishna arrives. And if Vasudev and Devaki are indebted by Kamsa, then it would be very difficult for Krishna to kill Kamsa. How do you kill somebody who your parents are so indebted by? That would look really bad. Oh, maybe Kamsa was a bad man, but you know, he was very nice to Krishna's parents, and Krishna still brutally killed him with his two little soft hands. So Narad Muni went and told Kamsa, look at this flower. There are 8 petals. Which one is the first and which one is the 8th? If you start counting here, then the 8th one is this one. But if you start counting here, 8th one is this one. And if you start counting here, 8th one is this one. So which one is the 8th? Don't take a chance, Kamsa. Kill them all. You really want to protect yourself? It's your dharma to protect yourself. Isn't it our dharma to protect ourselves? So, if you want to follow that dharma and protect yourself from Devaki's sons, you should kill them all. And Kamsa bought into that. Kamsa being an asura, he bought into that. Vasudev therefore had to promise Kamsa to give every child, male or female. From another point of view, Vasudev and Devaki were pleased when they understood that Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna would come as their 8th son. When the Akashvani was made, that the 8th child of Devaki would kill Kamsa. Devaki and Vasudev understood, who can kill Kamsa? The Devi Devatas cannot kill Kamsa. To kill Kamsa, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself is going to have to appear. So, if our 8th child is going to kill Kamsa, that means the Supreme Personality of Godhead is going to take birth in our home. to kill Kamsa. So they were very happy. But externally they are in extreme distress because somebody wants to kill all their children. And not somebody, the most powerful person around wants to kill your children. How do you do? What do you do? Kayadu was kind of in the same kind of situation. When Kayadu was saved by Narad Muni from the demigods, Kayadu understood that, okay, today Narad Muni came and saved me from the demigods. But all of these demigods, they're really after the child in my womb. They could come and kill him anytime. How am I going to protect him once he's born? So he requested, she requested to Narad Muni. Soon as Narad Muni brought him to his ashram, that please give me one boon. He said, What do you want, Mata? Kayadu said, until my husband comes home, I don't want to give birth to my child. I just want to hold him in my womb because that's the only way I'm going to protect him. Once he comes out, he's going to be running around all over the place very soon. Who's going to control him? Right now he's in my womb, I have good control over him. Give me that control until my husband comes home. Once my husband comes home, I will peacefully give him birth and my husband will be there to protect him. But until my husband comes home, I don't want to give him birth. So Narad Muni, knowing that I can teach the Bhagavatam to him outside of the womb or inside the womb, he said, okay, keep your child in the womb, but come to the Bhagavatam class every morning. So for 36,000 years or whatever, Kayadu was going to the Bhagavatam class every morning. And Prahlad Maharaj is hearing it. In 36,000 years, even if you do one verse a day, how many times the Bhagavatam will be finished? So Prahlad Maharaj really went through the study of the Bhagavatam over and over and over and over again. That's why he was like a born preacher. He didn't want to learn the Bhagavatam. He spent 36,000 years learning the Bhagavatam. He wants to preach. He couldn't preach to anybody else, so he would take his classmates in the recess, sit them down and teach them the Bhagavatam. So, that way, Kayadu protected her son from the big enemy. If all of the demigods are after this one little person, who's going to protect him? So the mother says, no, I will protect him. As long as he's in my womb, I will try my best to protect him. Just give me a boon to let me keep him. That's why Prahlad Maharaj was born when, although conceived before this 36,000 years, but born after the 36,000 years of pregnancy. Otherwise, when Hiranyakashyap would have come back from tapasya, Prahlad Maharaj would have been thousands of years old, not a child. So Kayadu protected her son from, or tried to protect her son from the demigods. Mother Devaki is also trying, is also afraid of Kamsa wanting to kill her son. But Srila Prabhupada here says, Vasudeva and Devaki were very pleased when they understood that Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna would come as their eighth son. Vasudeva, pure devotee of Lord, was eager to see Krishna as his child from eighth pregnancy of Devaki. Therefore, he wanted to deliver all the children quickly. Wanted to, both of them want to have children very quickly so that we get to number eight. When the number eight is done, it's over. But we want to get to number eight as quickly as possible. Then Krishna would appear. He begot one child every year, so that Krishna's turn to appear would come as soon as possible. So that was the Bhaktivedanta purport on this verse. If there is any questions, we can take any further pastime or leela you want to understand. Yes. Yeah, so Kansa being Kalnemi, he had this relation from the previous life with these children that he killed. So in the real sense, he did not give distress to Devaki or Vasudev. He gave distress to himself, because they, in the previous lives, they were his sons and he killed them. Kalnemi took birth as Kamsa. Yeah, I don't particularly I have heard that katha, but I don't remember it now. Anybody else remembers? I don't remember it now. I've heard it. I don't remember exactly what happened. But these were children of Kalnemi, who he killed was himself. I will look that up for you. Yeah, I've heard that. Any other question? Yes, Panchagoda Prabhu. Yeah, I'm sorry, I usually remember all these.
It's naturally when you have a family or children, although the body is not the real self, we become attached to the body, but the only reason we become attached to the body is because of the soul animating the body. So in one sense, we're attached to the individual within this losing body. So when we think about, my father is dead and gone. No, he's lying on the floor. That analogy is there. No, why wait? You've never really seen your father. But we do have a chance to experience the spirit soul to some extent through the body.
Yes.
What's wrong with being attached to the family or to the children?
What's wrong with being attached is nothing wrong with being attached as long as we are attached to them as with understanding that they are same part and parcel of Krishna as me, so they are all the same, samdarshi. But if I feel, oh, this one is my son, this one is my brother's son, and this one is their friend, that is bodily identification. But inside, and that's true for the body, that this body came from a part of this body, right? But neither I am this body, neither is this person body only. He's a soul inside. So with that attachment, it covers our vision to see a real person. We just see the body. This is my son, this is my daughter, this is my daughter-in-law, this is my son-in-law. That's all I'm seeing. What I should be seeing is these are all individual spirit souls, and those who are their friends or unrelated other spirit souls, with my eternal identity, they are also my brothers and sisters as these guys. So that my vision is covered by seeing the body of this person only. This is my son. This is my grandson. Nobody is your son. Nobody is your grandson. They're all your brothers. So that is... And the more I attach or have attachment for these individual souls, this is my grandson, this is my granddaughter, that is going to give to become a cause of distress, because something or the other is going to happen to them. You will not be able to protect them from whatever happens. Either they break their bone, sorry, don't take it personally, nobody, please take, don't take it personally. They break a bone, they fall, they don't become Krishna conscious, they become demoniac, whatever, that's going to trouble us. So that's why it is explained in the Shastra that we should be samdarshi. And nothing wrong with caring for my grandson, but not with the understanding that we should care for that grandson with the understanding that there is a spirit soul inside him. And what I am seeing is the outer material covering. I should not be so attached to that. Caring and attachment are two different things. We should have affection, we should care, but we should not be attached, because the attachment then breeds the body-to-body relationship, which is going to for sure come to an end, because it is love. So if somebody says, I love you, for until the corona goes away, or whatever period of time, for next 10 years, is that real love? No. Love should not have an expiry date. But the love that we have for our relatives, anybody related to my body, I am attached to that, I love that person, that has an expiry date on it. Because either that person, that body, or my body is going to expire. So that love has an expiry date. And if it has an expiry date, it's not real love. Make sense? Thank you. Any other? Yes. Yes. He did not grow. Yes. I couldn't hear completely full question because of the bell. Yes, he did not grow in her mother's womb. Yes. Okay. So difference between Prahlad Maharaj overstaying in her mother's womb, in his mother's womb, and Shukdev Goswami overstaying in his mother's womb, the difference is that Prahlad Maharaj and Kayadu had a blessing prior to him overstaying, that okay, I bless you that you will keep your womb as it is. Whereas Shukdev Goswami decided it on his own whims. I don't want to take birth. So that's why he kept growing. He didn't have a womb to do that. Because he heard the Bhagavatam, he said, I don't want to take a birth because I will be affected by Maya as soon as I take a birth. So when Krishna said that, okay, I bless you, you will not be affected. Take birth. Okay, I'm ready. I'll take birth. It's like that. Thank you. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki.